Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
Hey, he's not here. Let's give away $100 of Burt's money. Let's start by giving some of that money to me. We're going to give it to some listeners, Abby.
Okay, that's probably better.
It's either going to go to Caitlin, Lindsay, or Katie. All right, so we're going to do Blues Burt's money. I'm going to give out a trivia question, and whoever gets it wins the money. But here's the thing. With every wrong answer, we go down $10. So the question I'm asking today is, what can the average person do for 47 seconds? What can the average person do for 47 seconds?
I think I'm going to do it this weekend.
Okay, have fun with that.
Fart.
Caitlin, welcome to The Burt Show. Where are you calling from?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi. Tell everybody in Charleston we said hi. All right, so okay. Caitlin, for $100, what can the average person do for 47 seconds?
I'm going to say pay attention to one single thing.
I need you to be more specific if you can.
Okay. To their spouse.
To their spouse. Gotcha. That is incorrect, but you're on the right track.
Okay.
All right. Lindsay, welcome to the Burt Show. Hey. Where are you calling from?
Toledo, Ohio.
All right. Got representation in South Carolina, representation in Ohio. All right, Lindsay, for $90, the question is, what can the average person do for 47 seconds?
I'm going to say hold their breath.
Hold their breath. Great answer. That is incorrect.
Lindsay, that would have been my guess. That's what I had written at the top of my page.
Same. Yep. That was mine.
Thanks, Abby.
All right, Katie, for $80, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Alpharetta, Georgia.
All right, we got representation in Georgia now. All right, Katie, again for $80. The question is, what can the average person do for 47 seconds?
Read a book.
You ain't read what I read.
You need to get on Book Talk. Cassie and Abby can have some good recommendations for you. I'm sorry, Katie, that is incorrect.
Yeah, they'd be going for 90 seconds there.
Now, and again, because I really want to give away Burt's money because it's not mine, Caitlin was on the right track with what she said, okay? So, Caitlin, we are back to you for $70. What can the average person do for 47 seconds?
All right. So, it's not paying attention to their husband, even though that's hard. So, let's see, pay attention to, like, a TV screen or, like, an iPad or something, like, on your phone, I guess.
Congratulations, Caitlin. You just won $70.
What?
Yes.
The happy average
Friday, guys.
Happy Friday for sure.
Friday.
The average person's attention span for a single screen is 47 seconds.
What?
And that is down from two and a half minutes, I think, back in 2004. So, yeah, it's like it's dwindling. So 47 seconds is the amount of attention span any average person can give to a screen.
That is
insane.
That is insane. That also drives home my point. I have given up TikTok for the last week to try and improve my attention span. Mm-hmm. So I'll let y'all know after next week if it worked. But 47 seconds, that's not even a minute.
47 seconds, that's it. All right, we want to do 100 days of good goes round.
Bird Show's 100 days of good goes round.
All right, so what is 100 days of good goes round? Well, it's kind of in the title. For 100 straight days this summer, we want to spread a little goodness with acts of kindness. We want to help or support you in any way, shape, or form. And you can go to thebirthshow.com and nominate yourself, or maybe you know somebody who deserves to feel seen, celebrated, or supported. You could do that as well. So, you know, do you know somebody that could use a little lifting hand, could use some lifting up, maybe a friend just got out of the hospital, could use some help with some meals or task. Maybe you know somebody who has a big moment coming up and needs someone to cheer them on. Pretty much the possibilities are endless.
So many possibilities. I mean, we can do something as small as just like bringing some coffee to your office, or hey, maybe we'll even get like Messy Mikey to do a little dance. A little dance, a little song. We'll have him perform some Merle Haggard for you.
He can play the guitar, right?
You know what? Let's say yes, because I don't know.
Yeah, I think he does.
At the very least, I think he can play the tambourine or maybe the triangle. We'll get Messy Mikey on an instrument, and we'll have Jackson be his background dancer. We'll get him in one of those little Britney Spears outfits with a fake snake.
Look at you.
I just want to get super creative, yeah. And humiliate my coworkers.
This is starting to sound like an oddly specific fantasy.
This is 100 days of haha, laugh funny for me.
All right, 100 days of good goes round. Big or small, we want to help in any way we can. But you have to go to thebirthshow.com and get signed up today.
The Burt Show.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Abby's Yo Gossip this week is dedicated to Memorial Day, which is going to be this coming Monday, and how it originated.
Hear ye, hear ye. Come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village.
Abby's done the work to bring you
Ye Old Gossip.
Here's your parental warning for some mild adult content that I'll allude to, but nothing crazy. Because I've always felt like the vibe of Memorial Day never quite matched up with what the day actually stands for. On Memorial Day, you might log on to TikTok and you might see your feed flooded with soldiers dancing shirtless on pontoon boats. You might even be at a family barbecue and get in a fight over some undercooked hot dogs. Or you might even be at a brewery seeing plenty of civilians proudly thanking service members for their service, sometimes with more than just words. You might be tempted to roll your eyes, clutch your pearls, and ask, is this really how we honor the fallen? But here's the thing. Wild, messy Memorial Day weekends aren't some Gen Z glitch in the matrix. They're not even modern. In fact, they are historical. For over a century, Memorial Day has, of course, been a time for mourning, but it's also been weirdly the backdrop of decades of coping with the horrors of war with hot GI summer. Hot GI summer. Let's set the stage. It's the 1940s. World War II is grinding towards a brutal end. The Nazis are getting their butts handed to them. Eagles are screeching. Rosie the Riveter is flexing. The Statue of Liberty is shaking her fist in righteous fury. And in the middle of it all is a guy named General George S. Patton, the military commander with the soul of a poet and the bedside manner of a chainsaw. Patton was not known for his gentleness. This was a man who once slapped a shell-shocked soldier in a field hospital, yelling that fear was un-American. But he was also the man that wept at funerals, played classic piano, and scribbled heartfelt poetry into leather-bound notebooks.
So he was an onion.
He had layers, as all humans are. We're different. We're emotional. We're messy. And Patton didn't just command soldiers. He embodied the madness of war. And most importantly for our story, he understood what war did to people. In a 1944 diary entry, he once wrote, "The closer a man is to death, the more he desires the things that remind him he is still alive. Food, drink, and women." I don't know if he actually talks like that.
I wasn't thinking he did.
He's basically the spiritual ancestor of your cousin doing body shots off a Marine this weekend. So when World War II finally ended in 1945, America didn't just breathe a sigh of relief. It erupted. And no one partied harder than the soldiers who came home. By Memorial Day 1946, the streets weren't just packed. They were steamy. A Los Angeles headline once read, "Veterans flood beaches. Police report too much passion. Not enough parking." Translation, people were hooking up in cars, on beaches, behind lifeguard towers, anywhere with a flat surface and a little shade.
They earned it.
Bars across the country ran these things called victory specials that were so strong, bartenders literally ran out of whiskey. They caused a shortage of alcohol and clean hotel linens in the same night. There was one sailor in Miami who had such an unforgettable one-night stand. He was recorded walking straight into a tattoo shop where he got "Memorial Babe 1946 etched on his bicep. He never saw her again, and he didn't need to. And with stories like that, honestly, the baby boom starts to make a lot more sense.
That it does.
Now, flash forward to the 1970s. Vietnam veterans are coming home. Not to parades.
No.
But to protests and confusion. Memorial Day for many of them became the only time they felt semi-welcome. So what did they do? They threw ragers. One vet described Memorial Day 1972 as, and I quote, "an unofficial reunion where everyone's playing emotional dodgeball, dodging PTSD, drinking like their life depended on it, and hooking up like they'd just been drafted into Studio 54.
I mean, it was the 70s.
It was the 70s, baby. Time magazine even ran a little piece called "Honor and Escape," documenting how Vietnam vets spent Memorial Day trying to drown out the memory with music, whiskey, and fleeting human connection.
Once again, they earned it.
They earned it. One sailor later joked that on Memorial Day 1972, his motto was, "What happens at the barbecue stays in my nightmares and my tattoos." So what's the point here? It's that celebrating the fallen and honoring those who have fought for us looks different for everyone. Human emotion is complex. Memorial Day may be draped in red, white, and blue, but it's also soaked in sweat, tequila, and blurry 3 a.m. texts that say, "You up?" Because sometimes being human means being messy. Veterans like General Patton understood that. He didn't endorse debauchery because he knew that sometimes the most radical act of healing isn't solemn silence. It's dancing on a dock. It's kissing a stranger under fireworks and screaming, "I'm alive!" into the humid night air. As long as wars and battles are being fought, veterans are still coming home from deployments, from crises, from invisible wars waged in their own minds. And while we absolutely should honor their sacrifices with ceremonies, salutes, and silence, we should understand that joy, wild and perfect, untamed joy, can be a part of the healing too. So this Memorial Day, when you see thirst traps, the flings, the beach bar hookups, don't judge. Just remember what General Patton wrote in 1944. "The closer a man is to death, the more he desires life. So let them have it. Red Solo cups, tattoos, fireworks, and all.
I hope anybody listening, listening doesn't have PTSD.
Yeah, maybe I should have picked Tamer fireworks.
That one came in hot. It's one of those things where it doesn't have to be one or the other. It could be yes and. Mm-hmm. You can remember our fallen, as that is like, you know, the whole reason behind Memorial Day. And you can also have yourself a good time.
So absolutely.
If you can do both, I think you've had a well-deserved Memorial Day.
Honor the fallen and make sure you cook your hot dogs all the way through.
Burt Show.
Y'all are dying to know what happened. So Dana accidentally sent a revealing mirror selfie to her boss, Gary, instead of her boyfriend, Jerry, with a G. She immediately reached out to us seeking what to do next. So we suggested she call Gary ASAP to explain the mistake before he saw the pic. But Dana couldn't make the call because her boss had responded with his own towel selfie. Now, to make matters worse, her boss is married. So now we're super messy. Cassie suggested she threatened to send the pic to her boss's wife unless he gave her a 20% raise. I told Dana to immediately text her boss clarifying the mistake. So what did Dana decide to do? Cassie's got your follow-up.
Hey, guys. Big thanks to all of you for helping me out. This was literally one of the craziest things that has ever happened to me, and I don't know what I would have done without you guys, even though I didn't follow your advice. LOL.
Shocking. Somebody was an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
I did text back my boss after he sent me this shirtless photo, but I kind of went a different route. In my panicking brain, I decided the best way forward was to immediately add some decorum and professionalism back into the conversation, so I Googled, quote, corporate phrases to use, and texted him back, let's put a pin in this and circle back in person. I will touch base with you in the morning. Looking back, now that I'm calmer, maybe not the best message to send. He sent me a question mark, and I decided to just ignore it. The next morning, I walked into his office first thing in the morning. Covered up this time in my most conservative office wear, no office sirens here. He kind of smirked at me and started to speak, but I immediately cut him off. I told him that the photo I had accidentally sent to him was meant to go to my boyfriend, Jerry. I apologized for being inappropriate, but emphasized that it was an accident. He was pretty surprised. It was like I could see the equation going on in his brain as he started to realize he had sent his subordinate a flirty photo when he has a whole wife at home. Once he gathered his thoughts, he told me not to worry about it. Mistakes happen, and said, and I quote, having some discretion is important in the workplace.
Oh, my gosh.
And gave me a sort of knowing look.
In other words, keep your trap shut.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I absolutely knew what that meant. So I deleted the photo of him, and I sure hope he deleted the photo of me. And we went back to our new normal as employee and boss, who both know just a little too much about each other now. Is it weird if I said it kind of seemed to improve our relationship? We're certainly a lot less buttoned up with each other now.
Don't say that.
Thanks so much, Dana.
Please put those buttons back up.
All right, I think this is honestly best case scenario of how this could have ended. Do we believe he actually deleted the photo? Because she's assuming he deleted the photo. Because I don't think, to me, this email doesn't sound like she requested it, because then that would be another awkward conversation you have to have. Do you think she deleted or he deleted her photo?
He absolutely did not. In my opinion, I don't think he would. But I mean, just from the little information we know about this guy, but I think, honestly, even if he hasn't deleted the photo, you have so much blackmail on this guy that, like, sure, he might have this photo of you, but you also have a photo of him.
But she deleted it.
Well, she's saying, I'm sure you can recover it somehow.
It's in your trash and your photo album.
Please recover it, Dana, before it goes away. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can find it somewhere if you really, really needed it. And even if if you both are under the impression that you have deleted this photo, if he hasn't deleted it, maybe he's assuming that you haven't deleted it. And I just feel like he's going to be on his best behavior as a boss. Maybe you'll even get a little promotion out of it unintentionally.
And something else I'm sitting here thinking in real time, because nothing was ever in writing and it was a conversation, a verbal conversation they had, like I would have recorded the conversation just to have it on tape that this was an accident. I did not mean to send my boss this photo. That way there could never be retaliation from him later on down the line. Because I've learned over the years it's so important to get stuff in writing. And so you all had a conversation, but none of this, like, you don't have any proof of anything. So I would have 1,000% have recorded the conversation just to have it in my back pocket in case something went awry down the road.
Oh my God, you're so right, because he can easily delete his text to her, and if she's deleted it from him, then it looks like she sent him that photo, and it could be harassment from her.
But can't you get your text records? Like, you can request them from Apple, you can request them from AT&T or whoever, and then you can see the full unedited transcript if it came down to that.
Police do that all the time on the first 48. Like, these idiot criminals come in and they're like, they hand over their phone and they're like, yeah, no, I mean, I have nothing to hide, because they think they deleted everything. But no, police have a way of pulling up your deleted messages.
I think I knew that you could see like who you texted, but I don't think I knew that you could see what you texted. I'm not against it for these dumb criminals, but that feels like a violation to have that stored somewhere without my knowledge.
No, I've always kind of assumed that. I'm like, once it goes out into the ether, no matter what you think you've done to it, no matter if you think you've deleted it, I've always been under the impression, and maybe because I'm a traumatized Gen Z kid, it's out there. You can find it somewhere.
Because the first 48, I watch it religiously, and it's the police department in Tulsa, which they have a very high crime rate, it seems like.
What else is there to do in Tulsa?
There is a detective who, like, they are specifically focused on electronics and pulling up, like, that is their job, electronics, and pulling up anything that could be deleted or whatever. And he's constantly pulling up, like, people say they deleted stuff, and they deleted Facebook messages, like Facebook correspondent and stuff, like correspondence. They have I don't know the technology behind it. I don't know what they have to go through to get it, but I watched an episode the other day, and dude, they busted this person hardcore, and they were like, here are literally, like, this is how you got her out of the house. You told her, like, they had the message of him saying you need to delete blah, 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 all this stuff. It was crazy.
Dang. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Other than being a detective, I think you could probably farm in Tulsa. I'm going to take a shot in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Abby, your female survival skills need a little tune-up.
Yeah.
Are we about to have a serious stalker chat?
I was about to say I might be on the first 48 in a different way.
No, I hope not.
I realized I overshared a little too much information, and now I'm worried that I'm being followed at one of my sacred places. So I'll back up a little bit and tell you that a couple of weeks ago, I was out with a mix of friends, some people that I knew, some mutual friends, and like friends of theirs that were closer with them than with me. And, you know, it was a fun environment. We're hanging out, we're having a couple drinks. And, you know, once your guard comes down after a couple of tequila sodas, you realize you start getting a little bit more loose-lipped about your life than you would ever intend to be while you're sober. And while I didn't reveal anything about my life I would be uncomfortable with, I'm just starting to realize that this information might be getting used against me. So I was talking to one of the guys in this group that we were hanging out with, and I could tell from his side that he was like thinking this was a really flirty interaction. And I was like, I'm just being nice and smiling and being hot. Like, I'm just being here myself and being chatty with you. And I think you think that this is going to go in a romantic way, and it's not going to at all. But he and I live in the similar neighborhood, and he was like, oh, I love to do walks at blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I also do walks at blah, blah, blah. And then he asked me, and this is when I should have known, he goes, what time do you go for walks?
Oh, no.
And because I was a little inebriated, I was like, oh yeah, I go at blah, blah, blah. And now I have noticed over the last couple of weeks, I have conveniently run into this man at XYZ time. More than one occasion.
So I can see that that can be stalkerish, or maybe he just thinks he's being clever by trying to get into your sights, making you think there could be potentially, you know, something there.
I just wish guys were a little bit better on picking up on the vibes, because I was definitely not putting out a, oh, I want to date you vibe. Mm. And so now I just feel like I need to get a restraining order against you every time I want to take myself out for a little walk and listen to my music.
Well, okay. And this is something to be, this is definitely something to be on alert. And maybe it constitutes high alert, but whenever you run into him, is it pretty like, he doesn't make you uncomfortable when you run into him, right?
No, I mean, he's a pretty harmless dude. I can take him in a fight, if that's what you're asking. I know he does have a dog with him, typically.
I did Pilates with you. I have no doubt, because you are strong AF and you can take him.
Yeah, I can take him, but I don't want to have to take him. And I think I might have to if I see him one or two more times out and about.
Are you going to have to change the time you go on your walks?
Yeah, and I don't want to. I'd like my time.
Okay, but we learned a very valuable lesson here, did we not?
Yeah,
don't
shut
be
up.
Stupid.
Yeah, and to not be stupid.
The Burt Show.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I came across her first 100K on Instagram, and her post said, "Tell me your most unhinged way that you practice microfeminism in your life." I'm not talking about assuming the doctor is a woman. Give me insane one, thanks. So this has been a new trend of people just posting a video of themselves asking for like good drama, good tea, like they want the unhinged of the internet, right? And I started reading through the comments, and ladies, these are friggin' brilliant.
Really?
Yes. And they're just, oh, they're so good. So again, she's requesting, tell me your most unhinged way that you practice microfeminism in your life. I'm not talking about assuming the doctor is a woman. Give me insane ones. Thanks. So here we go. Your first one. I'm a school nurse. If a kid is sick and needs to be picked up and both parents are listed, I always call the dad first.
Oh, really?
Again, a little bit of microfeminism. When a man asks me if I'm done with something at the gym, I say, sure. Do you want me to lower the weight? another comment. We play cards with the queen being the highest value.
Oh.
Again, just a little twist. For the last 10 years, I've been taking my... This one's brilliant. For the last 10 years, I've been taking my kid to exclusively women professionals. He now thinks all doctors, dentists, stylists, etc., are women by fault.
That's kind of amazing.
And that one has almost 160,000 likes.
Just the comment or the video?
The comment.
You're kidding.
That comment alone. All right, so if you have any of these microfeminism takes, 1-855-BIRCHO, 855-237-8745. All right, scrolling again through the comments.
8746.
8746. Thank you very much. I don't know why I did that. All right, because I was looking at the numbers on the Instagram. That's why. All right, so the next comment. I love calling guys who have businesses male entrepreneurs and boss boys. Literally whenever I can.
Yeah, honestly, when somebody pointed out the fact that girl boss was kind of a problematic saying, it's like, why do you have to say that you're a girl boss? Why can't you just be a boss? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Saying, I know you're very emotional right now, but let's try to focus on the facts. When a business debate gets heated with a male colleague, they love that.
Oh, oh my no. God. I'm not going to lie. I have definitely whipped out the calm down from time to time. Before they can, like, calm down. Let's talk about this rationally.
That one has 136,000 likes, by the way. Wow. This one has really struck a chord with people. Elementary school teacher here. When I need something heavy moved, I always say, oh, gosh, this is so heavy. Girls, can you help me?
No, don't put me on top of that. That sounds like a lot of work. Like, you know, when we moved Bert's bike out of here, I was like, surely Mo's got to be around.
All right, next. I don't move to the side. If a man is walking toward me on a sidewalk, he has to move first.
Oh, I do that every single time I go out for a walk. And it's always couples. They never move to the side. I'm like, I'm not getting in the street. I'm not going to be single and getting hit by a car.
All right, again, this is from her first 100K on Instagram. Tell me your most unhinged way that you practice microfeminism in your life. When people notice my husband and I have different last names, I say he kept his name when we got married.
Oh.
I introduce female friends by their accomplishments and men by their hobbies. I'm a commercial airline pilot, and whenever I see young girls on board, I ask if they want to come and see the flight deck and say hi, hoping to inspire more girls to become pilots. Next one. I assume all dogs are girl dogs in public, and when men correct me angrily, I go, huh, I was getting major feminine vibes.
Oh, no. I'm wondering if some of this feels a little belittling to men, though. Like, is that the point, that it's supposed to be a little condescending because women have been condescended to?
But why is it condescending? I see what you're saying, but why is it condescending to say feminine vibes?
Well, I think because you know it's going to bother them.
Right, but it shouldn't. That's the thing. I think that's what it is. It's really to highlight the absurdity of these reactions. And there's a guy on TikTok, I think his name is Kyle Peru, who's written a book of insults to tell men.
Oh, yeah.
But they're
not
insults. They're just stuff literally like this. And it's brilliant because it really turns the narrative on its head to showcase how absurd it is. And I remember when I did my wedding invites, if I was friends with the woman, her name went first and not the man's name. And I remember hesitating while doing it because I'm like, this is not appropriate decorum. Then I was like, you know what? I don't care because I'm friends with the woman. And it's ridiculous that it should be like Mr. and Mrs. last name when I've known her for like a decade. And so I think sometimes some of these are poking the bear on purpose, but sometimes I think it's just flipping the narrative on its head.
And this comment goes along the lines of when you were addressing your wedding invites. In emails to men and women, I always put the woman's name first instead of defaulting to putting the man's name. My daughter met one of my male coworkers when she was little, and she turned to me and said, Mom, I didn't know boys could be doctors too. I like to ask men after I notice them chatting together, what's the hot goss?
Oh, I love doing that. Or I love calling guys diva. I'm like, hey, diva.
They discuss people in petty S more than we do. Call it out. It's gossip. I like to say this is woman's name and then her husband when introducing couples rather than introducing the man first. Women subconsciously will move out of the way if a man is walking directly in their path. So I like to assert my dominance by not moving out of the way and maintaining a strong presence, and which is what we just had mentioned before.
As long as I'm on the right side of the road, I am not moving.
All right. So yeah, so we'll share the link, and it just goes on for days. But I understand the debate as far as, are you trying to upset somebody? But some of these, like Cassie said, shouldn't be upsetting.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree. Some of them shouldn't be upsetting. But like, I guess asking a guy if I need to lower the weight for him, I don't know, it feels a little bit like a jab. Whereas assuming a doctor is a woman, I'm like, yeah, that is a good piece of microfeminism to assume that somebody in power is a woman.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Trigger warning. Kanye West, because Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, recently said he is, quote, done with anti-Semitism. You had no idea that this had to be said, but when you're Kanye West, sometimes you have to come out with a very weak apology for all of the heinous things that you have done in your life, and he's asking for forgiveness for all the past comments he's caused.
Didn't he release some song that was super anti-Semitic?
Yeah, I know, but at this point, I'm like, this guy is so mentally ill that no matter what direction he swings in, whether it's super, super harmful to groups of people, or he's coming out with these quote-unquote apologies, like, none of this holds any credence with me, because he has lost all credibility with how just crazy and heinous some of his actions have been.
So he says, I'm done with anti-Semitism. So sorry, you don't get an award or a pat on the back for saying you're done with something that you never should have begun to begin with. So did he address that, like showing remorse for what he has said and done was anti-Semitic?
Well, he did what anybody would do in 2025, and that's post on social media to show that you really care, because he posted a series of messages on X, formerly known as Twitter, saying he wants to spread peace and that a FaceTime call with his kids inspired him to change.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and quote Pete Davidson, who was actually speaking about Kanye West when he said this. Being mentally ill is not an excuse to act like a jack A. And so my thing is, A post on social media is not enough to undo the anti-Semitic narrative, right? This is a whole group of people who are suffering and who have been at the hands of oppression and racism and genocide. And you're going to release a song like that and then do a social media post as a, I'm sorry, not enough. It's not enough.
I'm just laughing that he said FaceTime call with his kids, because I'm just picturing like Kim Kardashian and Child Protective Services and his kids all in one FaceTime call and him just being like, oh, I don't want you to take my kids, so I'll do whatever it takes. I'll post on X, formerly known as Twitter, to hopefully make this right. But it's just, I mean, it's laughable at this point. Like the stuff that he has done so outweighs any kind of weak apology he could put out that honestly, I feel like he is one of the few people that might be beyond reproach unless he went to a serious, serious facility to figure out like what is happening.
No, it's way too little, way too late.
Absolutely.
Can we bring back the ban on Kanye? Can we just stop talking about him and his nonsense?
Yeah, but sometimes I need things to talk about for these breaks. You know, there's four of them we got to fill sometimes, Cassie. Fair. But I get what you mean. And sometimes it's like, by ignoring it, are we not drawing attention to the fact that this is seriously happening to the world? Like, I think that's what sometimes entertainment news can get sort of like belittled as. It's like, oh, it's just Kanye West. But I mean, it really does point out some of the things that are happening in people's everyday lives. And people have a Kanye West in their life where they're experiencing anti-Semitism, mm-hmm. maybe not on the level where there's a song coming out, but I think it's important to get the word out that like when you act like this, you can't just post on Twitter and be like, okay, everything's fine now. It's just absolutely embarrassing at this point. Okay, on a much lighter note, I wanted to talk about some high school proms in movies because I know it's prom season. I know people are getting ready to like, you know, get in their limos and take their dates out and wear their pretty dresses. And I know growing up for me, like what would get me so excited for prom is those film scenes that just made it look like it was going to be the best night of your life. So Entertainment Weekly recently put out a list of 10 of the most iconic prom scenes in films. And honestly, the number one spot, while I love the film, it doesn't ring true to me as like an iconic prom scene. And in fact, the most iconic prom scene to me of all time is Mean Girls, and it doesn't even crack the top 10.
Huh.
It's shocking. So in 10th place, it's Jennifer's Body, which I know is one of Rebecca's favorite films. High School Musical 3, Senior Year. To me, I feel like that needs to be in the top three. I can't believe that's in 9th place. That whole dance number where they're like, in the nights of nights. Like, Kenny Ortega 8 with that when he choreographed that.
So not High School Musical 1, but High School Musical 3.
Yes, because if you know, Kristen, there is no prom scene in High School Musical 1. Get your facts straight, Boomer.
Gotcha.
All right, Footloose.
I have not watched any of them.
They're so good. Footloose is in 8th place.
Uh-huh.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High is in 7th place. 6th, Drive Me Crazy. The 5th place, wow, this is Carrie. That's okay. A very iconic scene.
It I was going to say, iconic. Criminal if they left Carrie off.
Yeah, Carrie's in 5th place. I almost feel like that should be higher. Pig's blood scene, yeah, insane. All right, 4th goes to Blockers. In 3rd place, Back to
Blockers?
The Future. I don't know. I think it's short for the C blocker word.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's got John Cena and Judd Apatow's wife, Leslie.
Man.
Thank you. In it, and that's all I recognize.
Back to the Future, so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
American Pie.
Yep.
And in the top spot, you know, as much as I love this movie, I can't say I remember it for its prom scene. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh my God, best movie ever.
I love that movie, but I can't. What happened at prom?
I don't know. I just know that movie left me with such a... That and A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger.
Oh, my God.
Top-tier, iconic millennial childhood movies.
For more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.